Welcome, everybody, and happy Thursday. We're almost to Friday. Goodness. Welcome, welcome. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host for this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to start out with local and state news. We've got Dan Schaefer for the State Slate going to join me in just a moment. And then I'll be joined before the bottom of the hour by Jeremy Janine, the creator and contributor at Urban Milwaukee for Milwaukee as Microcosm. And then at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Mark Sommerhauser of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, keeping it all about the state and local government and politics this afternoon. We're going to be talking about Wisconsin imports and exports. This drives our economy on both sides of the scale. So what is this latest set of tariffs going to do to all that? We're in a tariff environment, the most tariffs we've seen on aggregate in decades in this country. What is that doing to Wisconsin's economy? We're going to break that down with Mark at 5 o'clock. And excuse me, that's at the bottom of this hour, 4:30. I'm losing track of my times. And at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, I'm super excited to be joined by Republican representative from our state assembly, Duke Tucker. He represents the 75th Assembly District. We're going to be talking about, I think, a critically important piece of legislation that Representative Tucker has introduced to have term limits here in Wisconsin. I am all about them. I think this is a critical democratic reform, and I mean small d democracy. Can't wait to talk to the representative about that. And then finally at 5:30 this afternoon, it's been a while since we've had an opportunity to sound off together. So it is going to be the opportunity for both you and I to sound off about all of these things that have been in the news, including some breaking news over the last couple of days. Apparently, Florida's got a concentration camp. The University of Wisconsin-Madison doesn't believe in equity anymore. And myriad other things like blaming Canada. We'll get there all this show, so you're going to want to keep it locked all afternoon. With that as introduction, let me bring on Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation, Dan Schaefer. Hey, welcome back to the show, Dan. Lovely to see you, and happy belated 4th of July to you, sir.
Happy belated 4th to you as well. Always wonderful to join you here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Great to be here with you this afternoon.
We're happy to have you. So we finally have a biennial budget in hand, and it's been, I would say, a little bit controversial, both for Republicans and Democrats. Wanted to get your take on how we ended up in this spot and your view overall on the state's budget, especially how this came about, frankly, with Dems coming to the table at the last seconds, as I guess Republicans figured out they might not quite have enough votes after we have these fairer maps here in our state legislative districts.
Yeah, I think the big high level takeaway from this budget is that I think, you know, this is the first budget in more than a decade that has needed Democratic votes in order for it to pass. You know, most Democrats still voted against it. The agreement that was announced last week, Tuesday, by Governor Tony Evers and legislative Republicans, and along with state Senate Democrats. And I think that was really the difference between this budget and all of the others signed in this era of divided government with a Democratic governor and a Republican-controlled legislature. So the Republican-controlled legislature in the Senate, they did not have the votes to pass this budget with only Republican votes. So late in the process, at the 11th hour, they invited State Senate Democratic Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein, who I know was on the show earlier this week, talking to you, Maggie. But bringing her to the table seems to be a really significant development in that, and I think was one of the main reasons that they were able to get a number of the bipartisan wins that they were able to achieve in this budget. So I think, you know, the special ed reimbursement rate, I know the state Senate Dems played a role in bumping that number up a little bit higher. And I think for the UW system, or the Universities of Wisconsin, I guess we're calling it now, it also paid for a number of capital projects. And I think that became a little bit more palatable to the Republicans in this negotiation because it was not ongoing spending. It was one-time spending. I know there was a project at UW-La Crosse that got funded. The Polk Library at my alma mater at UW-Oshkosh is going to get a big influx of funding to redevelop that. So I think that was, you know, so the governor touted a bunch of wins on childcare, on the UW system, and on K-12 education, particularly with that special ed reimbursement rate. And I think a lot of those wins, you know, were able to be achieved because for the first time in forever, because of the new fairer maps, we had state Senate Democrats at the table negotiating in this one as well.
Here's my question to you. You use the word bipartisan. I'll just be very transparent here. I don't really think it's bipartisan because while, of course, you had to have both Republicans and Democrats vote for it. So in that pure sense, based on the votes, bipartisan. But as you just pointed out, Dan, I'm going to say that these achievements for the universities of Wisconsin across the system, especially these capital improvements, the increase in the special education reimbursement rate, as well as a massive influx of dollars to help working families afford childcare in this state, that's only because Democrats were at the table. We wouldn't have seen those things without fairer maps and Democrats at the table. So I'm going to say that those are Democratic accomplishments that were brought about, frankly, by the voters. And because we have fairer maps that better represent the diversity of opinions and interests that we see across the state. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, we had in the previous, under the previous maps, they had a Republican supermajority in the state Senate. With the new fairer maps, the margin went from a 2/3 supermajority to an 18-15 split in the state Senate, 18 Republicans to 15 Democrats. And so Republicans could only lose one vote. And State Senator Steve Nass, who I don't think has ever voted in favor of a budget, he's just kind of a cut spending hardliner. And so they lost his vote and they could only lose one more. They ended up losing four Republicans in those negotiations. And so certainly some infighting in among Senate Republicans on that as well, that you could kind of see from the speeches that were delivered in the final, you know, floor session on the budget. But, you know, the governor was negotiating. Voss was negotiating. Voss was talking about making an $87 million cut to the UW system, talking about, you know, not really doing a whole lot on childcare. You know, I think there was some movement with that special ed reimbursement rate, but I don't think it was quite as high as it was until Senate Democrats came to the table. So I think, you know, yes, a compromise budget. The governor is out there, you know, kind of celebrating that aspect of it in some media appearances over the week. But I think and what I put in my opinion column on this last week is that, you know, I think there was a lot of wins. A lot of those wins came from the state Senate Democrats being at the table. But I think there are still a lot of people wondering if this was enough, if there was, given that newfound leverage, that leverage was there for the first time in more than a decade with needing Democratic votes. Did Evers and the rest of the folks negotiating here get enough? And I think that's a fair question that people are asking.
Well, and I think that one of the things that I haven't heard discussed widely was the time sensitivity of the budget, both as to Medicaid funding, but also as to childcare funding. Those monies, that support through childcare accounts, ran out on June 30th. So this was not a, oh, well, we have leverage and our leverage is increased the longer we wait. Leverage is only good depending on how long you can actually exercise that. And I think Republicans had a slight edge in terms of the timing here. Of course, we've had Derek Van Orten taking credit for that additional Medicaid funding, which is both ludicrous, stupid, two-faced, and a whole bunch of other words that I can't say on the radio about Mr. Van Orten. But again, I think there was a timing element here. Last week, we had Senator LaTanya Johnson on the show. I leveled what I thought were some questions about the Democrats that had been very specific, very pointed in their criticism. And my thinking has always been in this regard. It's easy when you're in a royal blue district, right? It's easy to, just like for Republican Representative Nass, to just take that hard line. It's easy to take hard lines when you have very consolidated support within your legislative districts. When you're not in those rooms, boy, that's a lot more difficult. And when you have things like, again, the childcare deadline looming and those trickle-down impacts, again, on the horizon, the timing, I think, had to be an element here, did it not?
Timing was definitely an element. And I think that's what I would think is kind of a frustrating element of this, too, is just that if Tony Evers and And Assembly Republicans were, it was the reality for weeks that Republicans did not have the votes in the state Senate. And they didn't, and they just kept going in circles and kept going in circles. And all of a sudden they're talking about this this Medicaid reimbursement funds that they might lose out on if the big brutal bill were to be passed before that. You know, I question the urgency with which the governor and the legislative Republicans were approaching this. And the fact that it took until, you know, less than a week before the budget was signed to bring Senate Democrats to the table, I question the urgency of the governor's team and the legislative Republicans in wanting to get this done, both for the reasons that you mentioned, the child care deadline and the big brutal bill deadline that was looming over it. It just didn't make sense to me why there was so little urgency for so much of the month of June to not try to get this done at a reasonable time. And then they were getting it done and the governor needed to sign it at 1:30 in the morning, and it's all of these different things, and it just seemed like the wrong approach.
Is it possible, Dan, that frankly Republicans weren't engaging in negotiations? They left the negotiating table. They threw their hands up. And I think what my read on some of the facts here, and listen, I agree with you that the governor should have been out there stumping in a much more direct way for his budget. And there's always something to criticize in compromise budgets. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. But it's my impression that looking at Republicans, they just went, we're not going to talk with you. We're not going to negotiate with you. We're going to try to battle to get our own caucus in line and try to get it done that way. And it was only in that 11th hour and 59 minutes that they figured out, we're just never going to get those votes. Now we've got to negotiate. Such is the nature of many, 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 many budget debates that I've been involved in on the local level. It almost always seems like they're happening at the last minute. Moving forward, what do you think this looks like in terms of the power of Democrats within the state legislature, as well as the unity of the Democratic caucus?
Yeah, I think the Senate Democrats in particular are going to have, have a real possibility to flip the chamber in the next election. There are three districts in the state Senate that were won by Kamala Harris last year. We're already seeing some candidates start to line up to run for those. And so I think that is really going to change the dynamic in the legislature going forward.
And what happens if that dog actually catches that car? What will be on the Democrats' agenda come 2026? Big thanks to Dan Schaefer. It's the State Slate with Dan Schaefer, our political editor. Up next, we've got Jeremy Janine. We're going to talk about the city of Milwaukee's Vision Zero to have zero traffic deaths and how they're going to accomplish that. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.